Hello and welcome into this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show, presented by your Front Range Toyota stores on 104.3 The Fan HD3, DenverPioneers.com, Summit League Network, all else. My name is Tyler Mon, and we're talking some Pioneer soccer this week as fall sports season is underway. We're going to visit with the women's and men's programs on this week's episode of the show, and pleased to be joined by Pioneers head women's soccer coach Julianne Sitch. Sitch, we're over a month now into this season, officially coming up on a month into the season as, or I guess now over since your first match, which is insane to think of. But this is a big time of the year. You're in a bye week essentially right now between non-conference and the start of conference play. How you feeling?
Yeah. Hey, Tyler. I'm feeling pretty good. I think it was really good momentum to have the win against CSU. Obviously, it's a good rival playing against them. And just, in-state rivalry and stuff, having that fun. They've had a good season, obviously being ranked top 25 and being undefeated. So I think it was feeling good. Team is feeling energized from that as well. Like, it was a good win, especially coming off just a few unfortunate losses and tough matches there. So being able to get a win, especially against a quality team like CSU heading into conference play, is really good momentum to go with.
There's such a momentum thing that comes out of whatever your last match before conference play is. And for that CSU matchup, you trail early and then you're able to pull that thing back onto your side with your decision. Emmett Thielbar gets her first career brace, and you guys now get to enter this little stretch of, I don't want to call it downtime because it's obviously not, but just not game action before conference play on the right note. How important is that you're going in off of something that's such a positive when you head into conference play?
Yeah, I think it's big, and we talked about setting the tone of what we wanted to how we wanted to end that non-conference and setting the tone heading into conference. And so, we talked about that that week leading up to the games and before CSU, and now again too. Like, it's just because we don't have games this weekend does not mean it's an opportunity for us to take our foot off the gas and coast through here now. Like, it's amped up even more. Like, we're heading into conference, we have our goals that we're set and getting after, and the work starts now again, right? Let's celebrate this win. And when we show back up on Tuesday, we're back to work and getting things ready to go for conference play. So I think it's huge. It's good. And like I said, it was really good for us to have that game set the tone and have the right momentum heading into this little week here before we start conference.
You've got an overall mark of 3-3-3 right now, and you've gotten a chance to see your team against a whole bunch of different styles, a whole bunch of different, your power conference opponents, smaller conference opponents, teams that are similar to what you'll see in Summit League play, teams that are different from what you'll see. But so far, it seems like there's been widespread success in a lot of what you've wanted to see. You've got seven different goal scorers so far. What have you liked about the ability of your team to adapt in all these different circumstances between the travel, the types of teams you're playing, everything else?
Yes, I think they, we've talked about from day one about this being a process and a journey through the season of what we want to get to. And you can't be at the top and be here without all of these steps in between, and you can't skip steps. And I am, and myself and the staff, and the team, we're all very proud. Like, we've had to hit a lot of different adversity. You talk about Baylor with the red card. That was big adversity for 70 minutes, having to play a man down. And then you think about Seattle having to come back. Then you go on the road, you play two quality teams in Arizona and ASU. And just learning through all of those games and what we can take away from everything, I think is the most important thing. Like, every game and every moment is gonna have an opportunity for growth and have an opportunity for a lesson to be learned. And what are those lessons that we're learning? And CSU, again, great lesson for us. Like, we're down, we're able to come back, then we hold a lead. How do we have game management at the end of that game when you have a team that's knocking at the door trying to score? And so, I think throughout just the whole season, we've had a lot of really great lessons, and I think really proud of the team and how they've adapted and how they've taken on those lessons. How they've come away from everything, and just the morale with that to just kind of keep going. And I think, again, we've learned a lot throughout that, and really good positives for us to take away and to use those experiences as we head into conference, because we're going to find ourselves potentially in a situation where maybe we are down a player. I hope not. No one wants to be in that situation, but hey, we've done this before. We know what it looks like. We know we can do it. Or, hey, we've been down a goal against, opponents and like we're able to come back late in the game and tie, or we're able to come back and win. And it's like, I think it's really important to have those moments. Do I want to win every single game? Absolutely. I'm a competitor. I hate to lose. However, also, like there's a lot of lessons in losing and or tying as well. And I think it's important that we make sure that we take away those lessons and apply them for the season.
Ditch, from the standpoint of where your team is in maturity and execution, being able to deal with, being down to 10 players early on in a match or rallying in so many of these games you've seen so far, what does that say about them? As a team, you're mixing in some newcomers, you've got some youth on this group. There are a lot of teams who buckle in those situations, especially early on in season. So how proud are you of your team's ability to respond right now? And like you said, those lessons are so valuable when you get into conference play, but it's almost more impressive to see those lessons learned before conference play from a young team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think again, like it's very proud. Like we've changed at halftime with adjustments. We've changed in game with different things, and they're coachable. They're able to adapt, and they take on those roles. And I think, that's a huge tribute to the whole team, but it's also a tribute to like the captains and the upperclassmen, like really help paving that way and really like uplifting and showing the freshmen that way, because we do have a younger team. We have a lot of players that haven't played big minutes for us in the past. And so I also think like as a team as a whole, they've really done a really good job of sticking together and like empowering each other in those ways. And then I also owe a huge tribute to the captains and the upperclassmen for being able to help pave that way as well and help the team and hold them to those standards and expectations in those moments, because we need that. And so it's been great to have them show to lead by example, to lead with their voice, and just like in their play and stuff and how they're coming out after it. So I think that that has been really good and really proud of the group for that and really proud of the captains for that.
One of the things that stands out about your team early on this season is the first RPI rankings of the year came out, and you are almost 30 spots in front of the next closest team in your conference in South Dakota State in terms of your strength of schedule. And for where your team is right now, you're on the road taking on Power Five, Power Four opponents in Arizona and Arizona State. Just in the last few weeks, you get CU at home last Thursday. Those are lessons that also prepare you for conference play. For your team to be able to rise to the standard of a difficult non-conference portion, what are the benefits of that you expect to see once you get into Summit League play?
I think you just kind of said too, like just rising and playing of what we are capable of playing and seeing that, I think the way that we adjusted at the halftime of Arizona to go back out and like, hey, we deserve to be on this field and playing, like you could see the difference in that halftime, and going back out in the second half and just kind of like instilling that belief in the team that like we are a good quality team. We can step on the field with any opponent. As I always say, like any team is beatable on any given day. And that's the same thing said about us when we step on the field, right? Like any team is beatable on any given day. It's why you show up and play the game. And so, I think it helps us in general, like push ourselves as well and set us up for a competitive conference run, and, our conference is competitive and we, like every game is you need to win type of mentality, because you want to make the tournament, you want to finish high in the seeds, and you want to get to the conference tournament. And so you kind of put that like, hey, we're going to put ourselves in these stressful games or these high situations because we need to execute that same type of thing in conference if we want to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And so, and also like thinking about that, like I'm pushing and I want this team to be in a spot where we're in the championship game every single year, fighting for a conference championship going into the NCAA tournament. And so want us to be able to be prepared in that in every way possible.
All right, since you've got not the easiest start to conference play in that it's a difficult road trip, just logistic-wise. The trip to Grand Forks into Fargo, which will kick off your conference portion of the season on Thursday the 25th and Sunday the 28th, North Dakota and then North Dakota State. A team in North Dakota State that's the reigning Summit League champs. North Dakota, never an easy trip. in any sport. What excites you about the fact that you've got a little bit of this, I'm not going to call it a layoff between now and conference play, but a time to potentially, rest up a little bit before conference play, and then dive right in against a couple of, Summit League foes that are going to be difficult as always.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just a good opportunity for us to stay fresh, to keep pushing and to, train some things that, we have a couple days and extra days to do so. But also still like keeping ourselves in game form and having that. And yeah, heading to North Dakota, I mean, we play two top teams. I know North Dakota too, like new staff, new players on their team too. So, both teams have been doing well and, very competitive in the league. And so, again, like I say, you just got to go out there and like why we played the game and you have to show up and play. And so, how can we prepare ourselves the best that we can this week, focusing on us? There's still areas that we need to improve upon. There's still areas that, we need to make sure that we are sound in. So, those things will be focused on this week in training, before we head into conference play.
All right, Sage, last point for you. You start with a couple of matchups on the road in conference play, and then you're home for a three-game homestand between October 2nd and October 9th. You'll get Kansas City on the 2nd, Oral Roberts on the 5th, South Dakota State on the 9th. University of Denver Soccer Stadium, obviously a great home field advantage for you and your team. On the CU game, you got the fourth largest crowd in program history, over 1,600 fans, and you earned the 100th win in program history at DU Soccer Stadium against Southern Utah. What is it about your home pitch that is such a magical place for your team and your program?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just kind of said it like the support. I think just in general, like our athletic department, it's really cool to hear other student athletes in the stands cheering us on. I know the men's team comes out even on days where we've had double headers, like you can still see and hear them that they're there in the beginning of the game. Other staff members, it's funny. One of the coaches that's on the third floor that it's with us, like kind of gave us the shout out because volleyball had a huge win against Arkansas, and then we had beat CSU and Liza, the lacrosse coach, was like, "Oh yeah, third floor of lives," just that support and in general, like in the community here, in the athletic department, and like I said, just watching other athletes be at the game, supporting one another. I think that makes it definitely special. I mean, being in Denver and having the mountain landscape in the back, I think is pretty cool too for the fans to be sitting out there and watching that. And you get like a pretty cool atmosphere there. And the grass field. I'm sorry, like playing soccer on grass, there's just nothing like it. And so being able to have like a good grass field, we wet it before the game, so the ball slides, it's slick. You can get good tackles in. Like it's just, I don't know. And then you put like the lights underneath that and just like that atmosphere and environment there. So I think it's a home team advantage. And yeah, it's good.
That's a pretty awesome spot. And the
Yeah.
Pios will be back there coming up on October 2nd. But prior to that, conference play gets rolling September 25th in North Dakota, the 28th in North Dakota State. Julianne Sitch is the head coach of Denver Pioneers women's soccer. Sitch, good luck in North Dakota, and we'll see you back here coming up in October.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Tyler. Have a good one.
You too. Pioneers Coaches Show continues next. We'll talk on the men's soccer side with Jamie Franks after the break. Rolling along on 104.3, the Fan HD3, DenverPioneers.com, the Summit League Network. It's the Pioneers Coaches Show from the Front Range Toyota stores as we get ready to move from the women's side to the men's side, talking Denver soccer here on this week's episode of the Pioneers Coaches Show. And pleased to be joined by the head coach of Denver men's soccer, Jamie Franks. Jamie, it's good to see you. You are 7 games into the season already, 7 matches under your belts. How's the reaction coming off of a couple of home dates your last 2 times out, a couple of 2-1 wins, and in this first, month stretch of the season so far?
One of our missions is to beat anybody in any condition on any given day in any circumstance. And so, I think that the first, 7, 8 games for us are maybe a little bit different than what our colleagues are looking at. I think some of our colleagues are trying to get some wins in their column and feel good about themselves. And I think we're just trying to get in, every fight that we can, and we're just trying to figure out who we are. And, as we've kind of have failed, I feel like we found a better version of ourselves through that. And what I've really appreciated and what I really respect about my student athletes is their ability to, to take ownership and be responsible. I feel like the film sessions and some of the post-game reflections have just been, It's super inspiring. It's inspiring to be on a team where guys take responsibility and where they want to do better. And so it's been a really fun year. It's been a really challenging year. And because of that, I think it's been it's made us bring our best.
You've won three out of your last four since you took a couple of one goal losses, at a top 15 team in Stanford back on August 24th, and then a one goal loss to San Diego at home on August 28th. The points of growth from those losses, one of them especially being on the road at a Power Four school in a powerhouse, annually. What have you liked about those steps along the way of learning from, like you said, you go through very open and communicative recaps of these things with your team. But in terms of them digesting and implementing things, what's impressed you most about that growth?
I think, in the first part of the Stanford game, we beat them last year, at their place. And so I thought that they approached the game with a little bit more vigor than we did, a little bit more of a revenge. I think some of our guys are new, didn't play in that game last year. And maybe the first like 25, 30 minutes was all them. I think they had 10 or 12 shots. Stanford's one of those places where they count all your block shots. And so like in basketball, we're blocking the shot, which we feel really good about. But then they're putting a positive for their scoreboard. So, I think when you looked at the shots after the first like, 20 minutes, it was like 10 to nothing or something like that, or 10 to one. And what I was really proud of my group is that we just sorted the game out. It wasn't complicated what they were doing, and I thought we played a great 60 minutes. We missed the penalty, really, that should have tied it. But I thought that we grew from the game. We box defended better. Stanford is more interested in making you defend and putting the ball almost in like a game of field position on top of you. And I thought our guys did really well in that environment. Then you fast forward, to the San Diego game. If you look at the game, we had 74% possession, which is just an astronomical number. Thought we played really well against them. I think they're a top 10, top 20 team. And so we were really disappointed, really frustrated not to get that result. Felt like that one was out of our hands a little bit. Got a goal called back that they couldn't check because they couldn't check a foul on the attacking team. So, we felt like maybe those two games were on the wrong side of results, but we weren't really chasing outcomes. We were chasing processes and our habits and the things that we need to get. The things that we need to do better. And, every game we've addressed those things, every game we've got better in those, the margins that we're trying to focus and bring our awareness to. And so like, overall, when you're taking a step back, you just feel like you're getting maybe a little bit unlucky, but you're not creating enough of your luck.
One of the things that's been interesting about your team so far, your first 10 goals of the season came from 10 different goal scorers, which is fourth most in the country in unique goal scorers. So it's sort of a double-edged thing. On the one hand, teams at times are looking for the one guy who is going to get the ball and get the opportunity in a certain moment. On the flip side of that, you've got so many different dynamic pieces who can contribute. What pleases you about that at this stage of the season?
Just that we're generating chances from a varying way. Like we're doing it from restarts, we're doing it from the run of play, we're doing it in transition, we're doing it on counters, and we're doing it on the right side, we're doing it on the left side, we're doing it in the middle. If we need to play direct, we'll play direct. And I think that's what makes us a very challenging team to play against is everybody's bought in. There's no real superstars, and everybody's, there to do their own job. And, collectively, if everybody does their job, the team's going to have a lot of, collectiveness, a lot of unity, throughout the game.
I want to ask you about a couple of guys specifically. Kyle McGowan, last week comes off the bench, scores a couple of times, really good energy, this sort of spark in reserve that you like having for somebody in that position. But, started the first handful of games, comes off the bench. A lot of guys don't handle that transition well. To see somebody who does handle it that well, what does that say about Kyle?
Says a lot about his character. I felt like he was so focused on being reliable for the team, and he stopped almost becoming effective in a skill set. And so, I think that there's just a lot of pressure on these guys. I think one of the main things that I've tried to focus on a coach is like when it's not last year's team. We don't need to march to a Final Four right now. Stop putting pressure on ourselves. And I think Kyle kind of fell into that a little bit in the early in the season. He wanted things to go a certain way so bad that when they didn't, The space in between that is a difficult, it's a difficult challenge for student athletes, for athletes. And just really proud of him. I thought he took the feedback from his teammates really well, applied it into the game, but ultimately we just don't think that he was taking enough risk, running forward, putting the ball in the box, running 1v1 at guys, crossing, shooting on the target. And I think if even though he scored 2 goals, in the past 2 games, if you look at it, there's a lot of those habits and those processes of him taking more risk. So those goals are an outcome of it, but we really like his decision making and the actions he's making now.
Another guy who's making some headlines right now, Keegan Kelly, was just called up to New Zealand's U20 team for the U20 World Cup in Chile, which will begin September 27th on FS2. I just got back. I was just doing the U18 Baseball World Cup in Okinawa and seeing, face to face with players who get to do something that only a handful of athletes, really, in large comparison to the scope of their sports, get to do every year, every few years, playing for their country. That's such a unique opportunity. And there is something that is a different level of pride for those athletes. But I would imagine also for you guys as a staff. I mean, obviously it's tough not having a starter around for a couple of weeks, but how proud are you of somebody like that, for Keegan to get this opportunity to represent his national team?
Yeah, we're just happy for Keegan. Watching his growth come in as a freshman, he really wasn't ready to compete right away. He struggled a bit in his freshman year. And then I thought the end of last season when we were playing knockout games, he kind of found his best self. And I think we're just most proud of is where he started, when he joined us, and then where he's moving towards. His emotional control, his maturity, his understanding of the game, his timing. Those are all things that have gotten better. But overall, what makes him really successful and why we're really proud of him is that he works really hard. And when you play every play and you work that hard, you're instantly going to gain the respect of your teammates and your coaching staff. So we just wish him all the well, all the best. Obviously, we wish he was with us, but it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. And so we'll be supporting him and tracking him and just rooting for him.
Pretty cool stuff for Keegan. That starts again at the end of the month, coming up from Chile, September 22nd, when that event kicks off. And Jamie, for your team, you're headed to the Pacific Northwest, and you'll get a couple of matchups against West Coast League schools. And right out of the gate, your next matchup after this conversation on the 19th is at Portland. That's the number 4 ranked team in the country as of right now. Then you go to Seattle 3 days later. This is the type of scheduling stuff that we talk about with you and with your program. You want to play anybody, anytime, anywhere. These are really, really good tests. How has this preparation week been, knowing what you've got coming up on the 19th and the 22nd?
I think anybody that's ever been around us, it's more about what we do and how we do it than opposed to the other team. And so, we are just not going to change. That's not who we are. We're going to try to be, a master of our system of play and our style. But bringing awareness to, they have highly, skilled players, and they have really, really good guys that can win their matchups. So just understanding, the spaces that they can hurt us in. Like I said, if you're a big player, you want to play in these big games. This is why this is why you came to the University of Denver. We play over, anywhere from 12 to, 13 top 25 teams every year. And so, it's going to be loud, drums, student section, smoke bombs. And that's fun. I mean, as student athletes, that's exactly where you want to be. And, for us, we don't need to be the best. We're just trying to kind of continue to move forward every single week and test ourselves. And so just really excited to watch when the lights come on, who really steps up.
All right, Jamie, final point for you. You are closing in on the start of conference play, September 27th against Kansas City at DU Soccer Stadium. And that not only in your first Summit League matchup, that's also Alumni Weekend. And we talk about this, every year on our show that immediately precedes that. We talk about the import of Alumni Weekend. But, for fans who maybe just caught on and started following your program since last year and the College Cup trip and all that, tell us about Alumni Weekend and what makes it so important for you and for your program.
Yeah, just that we've been, a top 10 program and to really top 5 in wins and fewest losses over the past decade, and that all our alumni before us set important foundational work that then allowed the next group to kind of push on and to keep pushing on. And, if you're fast forward 5 years, 10 years from now, We're not going to be anything without our alumni. To be an Olympic sport, you have to have a sound alumni, following, and you need to drive philanthropy. And so I'm just been humbled by the way that our alumni have supported us, has built this, program to be a top 10 team, and just feel really fortunate to be a part of it and to be the person that's trying to continue to push it forward. But, alumni weekend is everything because, we're not chasing an outcome of like, oh yeah, you come here and you go pro. No, you come here and you're going to be a really, really good person. And you're going to be in a group of really, really highly challenged people who are excelling. They're good neighbors, good husbands, good fathers, good dads, whatever they choose to be. And so, and right now where the transfer portal is going crazy and kids are getting all these crazy money, our alumni base is keeping the main thing, which is developing student athletes. And so, we're just excited about that. Anytime the guys can get around, our current players, I know that they'd be proud of their commitment level to each other, how much this community means to them, and just ultimately their effort and their attitude every single day. These guys go after it, and, yeah, I just having everybody around each other is really important for making long lasting relationships.
It was pretty great stuff. That's coming up September 27th at University of Denver Soccer Stadium as the Pioneers take on Kansas City for the next five on the road for Denver, at Portland on Friday, at Seattle on Monday, the 22nd, then that Kansas City matchup, and then at UMass October 4th and at Georgetown on October 7th. Big stage of the season coming up for Pioneer men's soccer. Denver men's and women's soccer, you can get your tickets at denverpioneers.com. And that is the Jack and Sheila Weidberg, head men's soccer coach of the University of Denver, Jamie Franks. Jamie, good luck up in the Northwest, and we'll catch you when you get back.
Thanks. Please come out and support.
Get out there to Denver Soccer Stadium coming up next week for that men's conference home opener, and we will see y'all out there. For everybody at the University of Denver, my name is Tyler Mond. Thanks for hanging out with us on this week's episode of the Pioneers Coaches Show, presented by your Front Range Toyota stores. We'll talk to you next time.